Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to the Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is a place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. This is the fourth episode in our Christmas Podcast Palooza series for Christmas in July, where I've invited other hosts of Christmas-themed podcasts on to talk about their podcasts and hopefully share some Christmas spirit. Today, I'm joined by Mike from Advent Calendar House and Colin from the Christmas Movies Actually podcast. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Mike, how long have you been hosting the Advent Calendar House?
Since 2017. I started December 2017. So I have a 5-year anniversary coming up pretty soon.
Oh, happy anniversary pretty
Thank
soon.
Thank you.
What led you to start doing this?
I got invited on a friend's podcast a couple of years before, and it was called Nerd Lunch, and it was just a sort of all-purpose pop culture show. And that kind of, I got the podcasting bug from that. I'm like, I need to do this myself. I need to figure out a topic. And what I had been doing on Facebook or Twitter every December was having my own little advent calendar of just posting videos of old Christmas specials and episodes. And at some point I decided, okay, maybe I can turn that into a podcast. And the first year, 2017, I sort of tested the waters a bit, did 8 episodes. Then the year after that, I did like a full 24 from December 1st to Christmas Eve. That found that to be a little bit of overkill. So the next year I split it up. I would do 12 in July, 12 in December, in an advent calendar sort of format every other day. And that's kind of fit my schedule nicely. So I don't have to worry about pumping out something every week or so. I can take the time to edit and kind of make everything sound nice and do a little more research and get a little bit of notes more prepared for that.
So that's what we're here today. What is Advent Calendar House about? What are the episodes about?
It is every episode is about a TV Christmas special or holiday special or episode from a series that was set around the holiday. I call the tagline for my show is a salute to all holiday specials, but mostly the Christmas ones. So every once in a while, especially in July, that's when I'll throw in things like Halloween and Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day and things like that.
Colin, how long have you and Carrie been doing the Christmas Movies Actually podcast?
We started in December of 2018, and we started with 3 movies, Christmas Story, which was celebrating its 35th anniversary that year. So we kicked off with that, and because it's a classic, you know, everybody knows it, and that seemed like a safe thing to do. And then Christmas Chronicles, which was new on Netflix at the time. That's the one with Kurt Russell as Santa Claus. And then just to show that we really love all genres, we did a horror movie called Christmas Evil that came out in 1980, which is phenomenal. That is a great movie. And so that was sort of our inaugural launch at that time. And it was, I mean, we just knew like we wanted to keep doing it. We decided to do one episode a month, you know, all year round, instead of just waiting till Christmas time to do episodes.
What led the two of you to start and do this podcast?
I've been a film critic here in Chicago for a little over 20 years, and I've guested on so many podcasts that I just thought, and also doing guesting on a radio show every week to review the new movies. I just really wanted to just host my own, because I found I was getting a little a little bit of a, being bit of a control freak whenever I'd guest on the podcast. Yep. I'd be like, oh no, let's not talk about this here. Let's talk about it here, because it'll be better, because it'll segue into the, and I'd just be like, you know, why don't I just hold this podcast? I know I'm driving my friends nuts. So, but I didn't want to do it by myself. And my girlfriend, Carrie, who's now my fiance, we'd been together for about a year and a half. And I kind of knew, like, that would be good. A co-host who's not a professional film critic would be good, because, you know, I knew she'd bring a lot to it that, you know, to make it a little less, I mean, you know, I don't know. She keeps me in check, which is great. of my ideas.
As somebody who hosts a podcast, who had a career in radio, and who has guested on podcasts, I totally get that. I've been a guest, and I sit there and I'm like, "What? Why hasn't he asked me this yet?"
Yeah,
this is what it's supposed to be about.
Yeah.
We've talked for 9 minutes about nothing, and this was supposed to be it. I don't think he's going to even ask. Should I bring it up? Should I just take control of this and say, "What you really want to know is," so. And how do you do that without sounding like a jerk?
Right. Yeah,
that's tricky. Yeah. Colin, has there been any episode or episodes that the two of you have done that are your favorite, that really stand out?
It's really hard to say, not that they're all great, because there's certainly a few that, you know, we could have done better. But like, my favorites are sometimes the ones that surprise. I for some reason go back and listen to them months and months later, and it just surprises me, like, how strong they are. Like, I don't know. I love listening to we started a tradition very early. So like every month, every January we do a version of Babes in Toyland, and there's like four versions. There's the Laurel and Hardy version from the 30s. There's the Annette Funicello Disney movie. There's a really crazy one with Keanu Reeves and Drew Barrymore and Pat Morita that came out in the 80s, which is insane. And then there's a direct-to-video animated version that came out in the 90s. And we've never been able to get a guest on for any of these, because who the hell wants to watch these movies? but we watch them, and it's just the two of us talking. And I really enjoy sometimes that's fun. It's just the two of us, just like, you know, like the last episode of Babes in Toyland that we did last January. I really like listening to that one. But, you know, the Lethal Weapon was a lot of fun, because we had two guests in, and that show ran for 2 hours. We try to keep it like an hour and a half, but sometimes we just get carried away with stuff and just have a lot of fun, and we don't want to turn the mics off. I don't know how that is for the listener, but for us, it's fun. I'm just looking at my Letterboxd list right now of episodes we've done that have stand out. I wish more people downloaded the Santa with Muscles episode, but nobody's ever seen Santa with Muscles. So I guess I should.
I have.
Yeah, so you know.
I do.
That's like one of our least downloaded episodes, but it's one of my favorites. It's such a crazy movie. Hulk Hogan as Santa Claus. Come on, download that. Watch the movie. It's crazy.
I guarantee you'll have at least one more download.
Has Die Hard been one that you've covered yet?
No, we get asked that a lot. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Yes, it is. Yeah. Oddly enough, we did Die Hard 2, because it celebrated its 30th anniversary in 2020. So we had a friend on who's a big, you know, Die Hard fan, big Bruce Willis fan. So that's a really good episode, but that's one of those that we're kind of saving for some kind of anniversary or some special occasion. Cause I find that with the big movies, like It's a Wonderful Life, The Christmas Story, all that stuff, we save till December, because those are the big movies. Mm-hmm. And when they're celebrating an anniversary, that's when we'll do them.
Yeah, I'd mentioned Lethal Weapon, which made me think of Die Hard. Mm-hmm. And I know there are people come out of the woodwork to either cheer on that those are Christmas movies or yell at you because they're not Christmas movies. And I just feel like, especially with Die Hard, Christmas is essential to that movie, because mm-hmm. otherwise there would be no Christmas party in that tower. There would be none of that would have happened. It has.
Yeah. So
Christmas has to be in that. I mean, there's the movie Michael, where John Travolta is an angel.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it takes place at Christmas time, but it's really a throwaway. It could happen over the course of a week, any time of the year. Christmas is not essential to that movie. So if you're using that as a measuring stick, that's not really a Christmas movie. I mean, it's about an angel, but it could be happening in June. It doesn't have to be at Christmas. But Die Hard, well, they did one for 4th of July, but I mean,
yeah,
but it would have to have been at another. I mean, the plot would have to be dramatically changed. It's got Christmas built right in, so it has.
Yeah, and I think Christmas adds to the flavor of that film. Even if it is just incidental, I think, you know, you have the ho ho ho, now I got a machine gun. You have Let It Snow playing at the end. And, you know, you're right. It's not completely, you know, that party could have taken place at any time of year. But and sometimes you do run into that with a podcast like this, where it's like, oh, there's not that much Christmas in this movie, but I guess we're going to talk about it anyway. And we'll just make that the conversation, because some people, you know, there's so many listicles out there of Christmas, alternative Christmas movies for you to watch, so you don't have to watch It's a Wonderful Life every year. And I look at those listicles a lot, and I'm like, oh, there's that. Oh, maybe we should do that movie. Though there's that. I never thought of it. I've seen it, but I don't remember Christmas, but maybe we should talk about it. That's a good idea. Classic example for our show was a movie called The Snapper, which is an Irish film, a comedy. And apparently they watch this in Ireland this is a big movie in Ireland that they watch at Christmas time every year. And so we decided to do it in March for St. Patrick's Day. And we watched it, you know, like an hour or two before we recorded the episode. And we're just looking at each other like, there's no Christmas here, except maybe a little at the beginning. There's Christmas lights at the beginning, and then the movie jumps ahead a couple months, and then that's it. I'm like, this? People are watching this every year? All right, well, I guess let's just talk about that. You know, it's like we kind of felt burned, but at the same time, it's just like, well, yeah, people watch it, so let's just talk about that.
Well, it's about the same amount of Christmas It's a Wonderful Life has in it, so.
Yeah. No, I guarantee you, it really isn't that much.
Wow, even less.
Yeah.
You know, I know people have their traditions, and I don't begrudge anybody that if there is, you know, if Death Wish 4 is your Christmas tradition to watch that.
Is that a Christmas movie?
I don't think it has any Christmas in it at all.
Death Wish 3 does, I think.
I got to watch the Death Wish movies again. All right.
But if that's your tradition, that's fine. And I don't make the rules for everybody. To me, if Christmas is essential to the movie, like I feel like it is for Die Hard, then fine, it's a Christmas movie. If it just happens to take place and Christmas is also happening, but it doesn't have anything to do with the characters or the plot or anything, I don't feel like it is. But I don't feel like it is for me. I also don't feel like I could tell somebody else, that's not a Christmas movie. You are not allowed to enjoy that right now.
Stop sure. It. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it brings you joy around Christmas and you've made it a tradition for yourself, then it's a Christmas movie for you.
Yeah, remember I worked with a guy when I was on morning radio in Cincinnati. Jeez, it's been 20 years. More. Okay, I'll stop about that. But he didn't feel that Christmas music should have drums or electric guitars. If it did, it wasn't a Christmas song. And it just felt like, okay, it's not a Christmas song to you, but it sure is to me, and I should be allowed to enjoy that. It's amazing to me how people decide what you can enjoy. That's just a soapbox thing for me.
I hear it all the time in the film critic community. So,
I'm sure. Mike, has there been a particular episode or episodes that you would think of as your favorite, standout for you?
Oh, it's so hard to pick favorites. I just am so happy with a lot of the ones and how they've turned out. This past Christmas in July, there have been quite a few that I've been very, very proud to have been a part of. We did a very wacky episode of Beverly Hills 90210 that tried to rip off It's a Wonderful Life and then forgot, but there are still this, they have the two angel characters, and my guest on it, who's Ed Daly, who's an author, said that he, the first time he watched that, he came in about 10 minutes too late, and this angel thing, he like missed that whole premise of it. So when you're coming into it at that point and don't realize this is supposed to be them doing It's a Wonderful Life, it's just bonkers. And that just turned into a very fun conversation. We did an episode of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers where they go to the North Pole, and because they're at the North Pole, they don't have their powers. last year, we did a special starring Mr. T and Emmanuel Lewis, who go around New York trying to find Christmas spirit. I did the TV movie A Smoky Mountain Christmas with Dolly Parton. That's actually a Snow White retelling. The wackier ones seem to be the most fun for me to talk about, but I also like going back to the classics. For my 100th episode this past year, I saved Santa Claus Is Coming to Town for that one, the Rankin-Bass classic, and I had five other guests on as kind of a celebration of, one, hitting this milestone for myself, and two, because it was such a big special that everybody loves and has seen. So that was a real fun one to just have a group together and have a roundtable discussion on.
That's the one with Winter Warlock, right?
Correct.
Yeah. It was really interesting to me about 10, 15 years ago, maybe more, that the song One Foot in Front of the Other suddenly started getting airplay on radio stations at Christmas time. And
really?
And it's connected to that special, but there's nothing in the song about Christmas or related to Christmas or Santa or any of that kind of stuff. But for some reason, it was like two or three years in a row, and then it disappeared again without a trace. But for some reason, One Foot in Front of the Other had tested well, I guess, and all the radio stations were rolling it out.
I want some song. One of my favorite specials is called Amit Otter's Jug Band Christmas. It's a Jim Henson one. And the songs of that have nothing to do with Christmas, but right. I play them every December. So I said on another show that I want to make a playlist of non-Christmassy Christmas songs. And Amit Otter would be right up there. Put One Foot in Front of the Other would be a great addition to that. There are a few in Rudolph I think that would fit. So that would be a fun project on its own.
Somebody sent me, I think it was the year before last, some indie band had covered River Bottom Nightmare Band, and they were putting it out as a Christmas single. Just thought, that is awesome. That is just terrific.
Those are great.
Mike, has there been anything that you have wanted to cover that you haven't gotten around to yet? Any sort of bucket list specials that you're looking forward to getting into one day?
I have a whole spreadsheet laid out of things that I want to get to, but like my white whale that I haven't been able to get a hold of yet is, there was a Christmas special of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood that only aired once, and it's not available on the Internet Archive with every other episode of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So wow. If I could find Christmas Time with Mr. Rogers from, I think, 1979, I definitely want to cover that. And I definitely know I have a guest in mind of who I want to talk to about that. It's just a matter of being able to have that episode accessible to everybody, not just me to talk about it, but I want other people to be able to watch it too and follow along is the key there.
Wow. I had no idea there was a Christmas episode of Mr. Rogers. Now I'm going to need to be looking for that as well.
Is Rhapsody Street Kids Believe in Santa on that spreadsheet? You know about this?
I do know about that. It's not on the spreadsheet, but I might have to put it on there.
I think you should. I think that thing, yeah. We did an episode on that, and it is insane. You can find it on Vimeo.
It's, oh, it's, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I I forgot that existed for a while, but no, I definitely know exactly what you're talking about now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, and we had Ed Daly on our show too. We had him on for 8-bit Christmas.
That was so good. That brought back some nostalgic feelings for me because that was when I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have Scrooge's Rock and Roll Christmas on your list?
Oh, I haven't heard about that one. Scrooge's Rock and Roll Christmas. I'm intrigued.
Probably best that you hadn't heard of it, but now I'm going to ruin that by telling you about it.
That bad, huh?
It was the 1980s, 82, 83-ish. And the plot of this movie is the special. The actor Jack Elam stars as Scrooge. And instead of being visited by spirits, this woman who this was, I think, supposed to be launching her career, and I don't remember what her name was, but she had this magic crystal ball that was bringing him the spirit of Christmas through music. And they would shake this thing, and then the bad effects would zoom in on it. And there were these 60s bands, or the members of these bands who were still around, who would then be suddenly in the crystal ball and they would perform. And it was like Three Dog Night doing Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And I think Mike Love from the Beach Boys was there. And the association, it was that kind of thing. And so Scrooge is getting the Christmas spirit from hearing these old 60s bands doing Christmas songs. And that was somehow it. And it never aired again. Huh. They released an LP vinyl that disappeared quickly. There are fuzzy versions that people have uploaded onto YouTube if you want to track it down. But it's...
Yeah, I see it
I think
here,
the but... word is bad. It's bad. Well, I mean, the music is okay. Some better than others, but it's just... It's I think it would qualify under your wacky criteria.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. I'm intrigued now.
Yeah. Colin, has there been anything that you have wanted to cover or feature that you haven't gotten around to yet?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few that like I'm really excited to do one day, but I feel like once we do them, it's going to be sad because then I can't do it again. like one of my favorite films of all time is Terry Gilliam's Brazil. From 1985 with Jonathan Pryce and Robert De Niro. And it's a futuristic, you know, crazy movie that only Terry Gilliam of Monty Python could make. And also happens to be a Christmas movie. So I know when we do that, that's going to be a thrill for me, but I'm like, I keep procrastinating it because I'm like, I don't want to do it yet because I'm not ready yet. I don't, you know. And then another one called The Ref, with Dennis Leary and Kevin Spacey, unfortunately. that's always been one of my favorites to watch every year. And so I'm looking forward to doing that at some point. I mean, there's a ton. And, you know, like we got that, you know, the criteria, the conversation we just had about the criteria of Christmas movies, you know, we're pretty loose with that criteria. Because if you're not, if you only do explicitly, you know, movies that are explicitly Christmas related, that's going to get pretty boring for me anyway. Because I want to talk about, you know, I want to talk about Eyes Wide Shut for 2 hours, even if the Christmas part is somewhat incidental, which I don't think it is actually. I think it actually plays a big part in the movie, but
yeah,
it's still because it's Kubrick. Like, I want to have a Kubrick episode. Let's talk about Eyes Wide Shut. Who cares? You know, so what? And we did that earlier this year, and so now we can't do it again. That makes me sad. It's a good episode.
The John Cusack movie. The Sure Thing is one of those where it has to take place over Christmas break, but but they don't, and nobody seems to think about any of these kids that are not going home for Christmas, or Christmas doesn't matter to them, because I knew it mattered to me, even though I was 18, 19, 20 years old. Matters still. But there's the one scene where John Cusack is drunk singing the Christmas song Chestnuts with the guys in the bar. And that's about as Christmassy as that movie gets, but it still has to take place then.
Sure.
It's a favorite nostalgic, wonderful thing.
It's so funny you bring it up. I was just thinking about that movie this week. I'm like, we should do that some point. I forgot about that movie, but yeah, another John Cusack movie that I think is really underrated. A lot of people don't talk about it is, came out in 2005 called The Ice Harvest.
Which
falls into that subcategory of Christmas movies about criminals who are trying to get out of town on Christmas Eve, but everything's getting in their way, but they really need to get out of town or they're going to die. You know, like The Ref is one of those movies. And this is another one, and it is dark. It is cynical. It takes place on Christmas Eve. Oliver Platt is in it. He's hilarious. Billy Bob Thornton, really great. It's directed by Harold Ramis. It's a total noir film, but it's also a great comedy that is just fantastic from beginning to end. And not a lot of people know about it. I think they botched up the marketing when they released that movie. But that's another one of my favorites that I can't wait to talk about at some point.
Like they did with Ben Affleck's Reindeer Games. That was supposed to come out in December even, and then they pushed it back.
Yeah.
And it has, outside of the title, maybe Christmas adjacent. John Cusack, also Better Off Dead.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Christmas. Yeah, of course.
Yes. Colin, anything that you want to tease that... that you and Carrie have coming up, not spoiling anything, but anything that you'd like to tease?
I mean, we kind of know like a lot of the stuff that we're going to do over the next several months. We do one episode a month until October. Then we pick it up to two episodes in October, November, and then December, we typically do three. And so next month, we're going to talk about a friend of ours, a film critic named Sergio Mims, is a big fan of the director John Frankenheimer, speaking of Reindeer Games. He also made a movie called Dead Bang with Don Johnson in 1989. Apparently, that's a Christmas movie. I haven't seen it. We're going to watch it in a couple days and see just how Christmassy it is. And if it's not, Sergio's got a lot of explaining to do. in October, we do horror movies. And for the last few years, we've had a guy named Patrick Ripple, who's the host of a show called Tracks of the Damned. And he's a horror movie aficionado. And for the last few years, we've been doing the Silent Night, Deadly Night series every year. in October. And this year, we're doing part three. November, we do brand new movies. We don't know what those are going to be yet. Whenever it pops up on Netflix, you know, we'll do those. And December, there's two anniversaries coming up. Miracle on 34th Street turned 75 this year. And Muppet Christmas Carol turns 30 this year. And we got so many people who want to be on the Muppet Christmas Carol episode. I think we're going to... It's going to be a packed and long episode, but it's going to be good.
It is kind of amazing to me how popular the Muppet Christmas Carol continues to be. It's like it's building more and more every year. I constantly get requests for songs from that. And I'm not going to be playing Marley and Marley on the Sounds of Christmas, but people love that more and more. It seems like every year. I don't remember it being a big deal in the early 90s when it came out. Did I miss that?
Oh, I do. I am very much a big Muppets fan, so this may be a bias on my part, but I remember that being a big deal when it was out. It was the first Muppet movie post Jim Henson's death, so that was a big deal in and of itself to see where this was going. But I think it might be the most important Muppet movie because all of Jim Henson's friends and family decided, hey, let's keep doing this.
We're gonna have our friend film critic named Matt Fagerholm, who writes for RogerEbert.com. He's interviewed all those guys, Dave Goles, Frank Oz, and the whole pack of them. He interviewed him a bunch of, you know, a few years ago, and has stayed in touch with Frank Oz. And so we're going to have him on the show. Not Frank Oz, but the writer.
Right,
but
sure.
He's a big Muppet guy. And yeah, so, and then we got other people who just love that movie to death. Like last year, when we did It's a Wonderful Life, we had a bunch of guests on one at a time, and it turned into a 3-hour episode. But every guest had brought something different to the discussion. So that might end up happening for this movie too, which I did not expect. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just blown away how big it just seems, and it just seems to be getting bigger and bigger every year. It's amazing. And I'm not trying to take anything away from it. I love the Muppet Christmas Carol. I think it's very fun, and it's a traditional part of my holiday. But I'm just amazed. It for a long time I treated it like it was something that I really liked, but I didn't get the feeling that a lot of other people did. And then just to find this surge of popularity for this, it's been a lot of fun. It's been terrific. Mike, anything that you have coming up? I know July is coming to a close. Do you have any episodes left for this month?
No, not for this month. I've wrapped up things for Christmas in July, so I won't be back until December 2nd, but I already have my 12 episodes planned for that. Because it's an advent calendar format, I kind of like to hold my cards close to my chest there, but I'll throw out some hints here and there on Twitter when they get close and when I get close to recording them. There will be one Muppet episode, as is tradition with me. I like to throw in at least something involving Muppets or adjacent properties in there every year. I do every episode that falls on a Sunday is Scrooge Sunday for me, so I have two coming up that will be adaptations of A Christmas Carol. One traditional, one very not traditional, but still pretty fun.
What's the best way for people to find Advent Calendar House?
It's very conveniently located at adventcalendar.house. And you can find me on Twitter at @AdventCalHouse. Y'all know how to subscribe to a podcast. I'm not going to explain that.
Okay. And Colin, what's the best way for people to find the Christmas Movies Actually podcast?
We're on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, and Amazon. And you can go to nowplayingnetwork.net and read about the show there. And there's all the other shows on that network that I've guested on many times.
Thank you guys very much for joining me today and sharing your podcast and some Christmas spirit with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you. This was a blast.
And thank you so much for listening and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. Station is still on, by the way, so anytime you need a little Christmas spirit, just head on over to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. You can also find our app in the Google Play Store. And as far as the podcast goes, we're now on over 30 podcasting sites. So if you didn't find us on your favorite today, just search for the Sounds of Christmas there, and I'm pretty sure you'll see our tree. Then you can subscribe so you never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, the Sounds of Christmas station, or the upcoming Standard station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.